You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. When the census count is complete, California will be able to redraw its voting districts. This goes back to the Voters First Act of 2008. And the job of changing those district lines goes to the Citizens Redistricting Commission. The process to form the new commission has begun. An online application is the first step, and State Auditor Elaine Howell recently gave us a great civics lesson on what the commission is and what it does.
The census is critically important to the Citizens Redistricting Commission. It is the primary data or information. They use other information as well, but the census is the primary information that Citizens Redistricting Commission needs to understand where people are in California so that they draw lines and districts that are fair, fairly represent the people of the state.
We've had a decision that's been announced from the Supreme Court regarding a Virginia case. The court didn't particularly rule if this was a gerrymandering case or not. But I think we have to define gerrymandering and the issue with redistricting to get back to what the commission will do.
And that's what Prop 11 was all about. It was a lot of citizens and different interest groups coming together saying gerrymandering was happening in California like it happens in a lot of other states.
Which means toying with the boundaries of districts to skew the votes.
Exactly. It was legislators essentially drawing district lines to protect their members, whether they were Republican members or Democratic members. They would draw district lines to make sure that their individual voters are in that particular district. And there were some really oddly shaped districts in the past. So the proposition was put on the ballot to take that process away from the legislature in California and give it to the citizens group.
Ultimately, what happens? Tell me very specifically how the census information comes in, how these 14 people get together, and then what the work is.
Well, I don't know exactly the process for the census information. Of course, the census is administered throughout the state of California, and people hopefully participate in the census because we need to know what the communities of interest, what the makeup of the state of California is. People have moved from different areas into the state. People have immigrated into our state. So that census information is critically important. But the commissioners use that information. And the last commission hired experts to assist them in drawing the maps. The primary work that the commission does is drawing those maps for all those districts you were talking about, but also hearing from people in the state of California. The commission back in 2010 traveled up and down the state, held public hearings mostly in the evenings, had public meetings on the weekends to really understand what people's concerns were with the existing maps, really wanted to share with folks what the census information was telling the commission as to what the district should look like. So that's really a lot of the work that they need to do. They need to understand and appreciate the diversity in our state. That's one of the requirements that was in the initiative when it was enacted or passed by the voters back in 2008. You have to have an appreciation for the diversity of this state.
What's the goal then in drawing what would be considered a good or fair district?
Some of the criteria is making sure that you're not breaking up communities of interest. So some of the district lines in the past completely split neighborhoods, and some folks were in one district as opposed to folks being in a different district. So communities of interest is particularly important, and that's really making sure that folks are fairly represented and that district line is drawn in a way that makes sense for that region of the state.
How do parties play into that? Not just Republican or Democrat, but third-party interests.
There's the no-party preference is a growing party in this state. There certainly are the two major parties, Democrat and Republican, but there are other parties as well. There's Independent, Green Party, Peace and Freedom. So those are all types of information that the commissioners need to consider when they're drawing those district lines.
Tell me more about 2010 and what difference it made under the Voters First Act. How did the process change? How was it more successful? And is that how you would characterize it, as successful?
It was a huge success. California's model is certainly being emulated across the country. There's really been a push for more citizens redistricting commissions. Ours was the first truly independent commission where people applied and had to go through a rigorous process to hopefully be selected. They weren't appointed by the legislature. They weren't appointed by judges, which occurs in a lot of other states. And what we have heard and learned from the commissioners, but certainly from the people of the state of California. There have been more competitive districts. Districts are more representative of communities of interest in California. So it really has been viewed as a huge success in our state.
If there are problems, whether they're technically considered gerrymandering or just complaints about districts, do they then come to your office?
No. Once the commission is established, we provide some administrative support until that commission is fully functioning. They hire staff. They'll hire an executive director. They'll hire experts to assist them in understanding how to use census data, how to draw maps. They did that in the past in 2010. Once they are fully established and they have the staff they need, my office is no longer involved. So if there are any concerns that are raised, it would be to the commissioners and to the commission itself. And the way the process works is the initiative requires this 14-member commission to be comprised of 5 Republicans, 5 Democrats, and 4 individuals not affiliated with either of those 2 parties. They could be no party preference, Green Party, etc. So by February of next year, this applicant review panel has to identify 120 of the most qualified folks of all those who have applied. 40 Democrats, 40 Republicans, 40 not affiliated. Then what they will do is interview each and every one of those 120. All of this will be live streamed. Everything is out on the website. Very transparent process. Ultimately, they have to get that 120 down to 60 individuals by May 15th of 2020. Those individuals are sent over to the legislature. The legislature has the ability, the leadership, to eliminate some individuals from the pool, similar to a jury. So each legislative leader can eliminate 6 individuals. So ultimately, it could go from 60 down to 36. And then once those 36 names come back to my office, we do a random drawing of the first 8 commissioners, 3 Republicans, 3 Democrats, 2 Republicans. Then once those 8 commissioners are identified and determined, they will select the remaining 6, and they'll be looking for diversity. You've got to have rural representatives, urban, Northern California, Southern California. So those 8 pick the final 6. And as I said, the entire commission has to be established by mid-August of 2020. The commission meets throughout the state of California. I'm assuming they will be based in Sacramento. That's what the other prior commission did. But they will be meeting all up and down the state, have public meetings to provide folks the opportunity to have their own voice about what these districts should look like.
How much time does this end up being in the commitment?
Well, and that's another great question. We had a lot of folks concerned that this may be difficult for me to do because I have a full-time job. The 2010 commission was a mixture of some retirees. Some folks had full-time jobs, high-profile jobs. One had her own law firm. So she was able to do it primarily because the commission can decide when they want to meet, where they have their meetings. Sometimes they were doing teleconference meetings. So it's an important responsibility, and there's a lot of work to be done, but it's absolutely possible to do it, even if you have a full-time job.
It's clear that your office and you have a role in getting us to the point where we have the commission. In an ongoing way, how does your office stay involved?
The only thing that we do to stay involved is we keep apprised of if there are any changes to the requirements in the initiative. For example, the 2010 commission decided that some portions of the initiative could be changed or should be changed. It was specifically related to my office as far as the applicant review panel. Very minor changes. In the past, the applicant review panel had to be CPAs, and that really narrowed the number of individuals in my office that were eligible to serve on this panel. So they eliminated that, and they said you just have to be an auditor with the state auditor's office for 10 years. So there are things that the commission, as they go through this process and learn there are better ways to do things, they can propose legislation and have some of the initiative change. But that's our primary responsibility.
I do want to get back to the point about what's at stake here and the purpose of redistricting and how that translates to votes and lawmakers and decisions that are made in the state. What is really hanging in the balance in this process?
What's hanging in the balance in this process is the future of the state of California. That's why we called our website Shaping California's Future, because if you think about it, once this commission established these district lines, congressional, State Assembly and Senate and Board of Equalization. Those maps exist for 10 years. So if you're looking at assembly districts, that's five election cycles for the State Assembly because they serve two-year terms. So this could have implications for who will be representing the people of the state of California for years to come at all levels, congressional as well as legislative and Board of Equalization.
That was California State Auditor Elaine Howell. You can find a link to apply for the Citizens Redistricting Commission at capradio.org/insight. Applications will be accepted through August 9th. And that's Insight for today. I'm Beth Ruriak. Our producers are Cody Drabble and Kate Gonzalez. We had help from Helen Barrington, Antonio Muniz, and our digital team, Chris Hagen, Emily Zentner, and Casey Gardner. Insight's technical director is Mark Jones. Our executive producer is Joe Barr. Thanks for joining us.